And welcome to Weather and Ag and Focus 106 in the afternoon. Thanks for joining us. I'm Chief Meteorologist Dean Wysocki, along with our wonderful, talented Ag Director, Bridget Riedel. And it says October 10th on the calendar, but if you've been outside, it feels more like early September.
Did you know? I had a message this morning from he's the national president of the American Soybean Growers Association. Yeah, American Soybean Association. He's from here in North Dakota. And he had a picture from this exact date in 2018 and 2019, and we had blizzards both those days.
I'm going to post an article on that tomorrow. The central part of the state picked up 2 to 3 feet of snow.
Yep.
It was from the 10th through the 13th.
And then it stayed.
Yeah. It stuck her. And I think we picked up 6 to 10 here in the FM area.
Yeah, I'm not wearing a coat. In fact, I'm not even wearing pants. I wore it with like shorts today because it is so nice out. Taking this while I can.
Shorts weather and just it was back in 19. Yeah. So What, 5 years ago?
Yeah.
We were shoveling.
We were not this far in harvest, by the way.
Oh.
So I'd like you to all envision combines slugging through.
Did they have to wait then until spring to harvest that year?
Depends on how much snow you have, et cetera, but there were some cases, we've done this twice that I remember, that we had corn that we combined in March or April. Ugh. Like you had to go get the corn off so you could till the ground so you could plant for the coming season.
Crazy.
Yeah, it was not awesome.
And this year we're looking at drought conditions. In fact, the new drought monitor index just came out today. And out in the far, this shouldn't be too much of a surprise, the western third of the state in moderate to extreme drought. Here in the east and in most of Minnesota's in at least a minor to moderate drought. And we're in a minor drought in the FM area, but just southeast of us, we're in a moderate drought. You go north, though, Grand Forks out towards Devil's Lake Basin, no drought conditions at all. I find that kind of hard to believe, seeing how dry it's been recently, although they did receive rain in September when we didn't.
You just said Devil's Lake. They are sopping wet. Yeah. Those guys got rain every time we didn't, and if we got a quarter inch of rain, they got 2 inches.
Yeah.
So we still have some standing canola out there. People are trying really hard to get those soybeans out. It's going to be a little while for some of the corn. In fact, thankfully, it has been a long fall because maturity-wise, we were awfully concerned that our corn would not mature in time for harvest. But so far, so good in that region.
For harvesting, weather's been great, but the rest of us, we really need a kind of a drink of water out there as we've got temperatures out there currently in the 70s. We'll make it up into the mid-80s today. A lot of high clouds strolling through the area. And that will continue to be the case over the afternoon hours. Record is 86. I think we're just going to fall short of that, about 85 or so. If we tie the record, great. Let's put it in the record books. It's going to be breezy. South-southwest winds at 10 to 25. A few more clouds tonight. That's not good news because we have a great chance of seeing the Northern Lights display. This is going to be, it's a G4 storm coming off the sun, which is almost top category right there. This is as strong as a storm that came off the sun as in May, when we had quite a bit of great Northern Lights pictures.
How far do I have to drive to go see them?
We might be socked in. It's anytime after 9 o'clock tonight.
Okay.
So check satellite, but I've got a funny feeling the clouds are going to really hamper the viewing. Now, if they're of the high variety like they are now, no problem. But if they start thickening and lowering, which they're anticipated to do towards the midnight hour.
Can't you fix this?
I wish I could. We can get a big fan out.
Perfect.
Fly a plane up. We can fly the company plane up.
Okay? I would like to point
out. We'll get a big fan.
I would like to point out that big fan idea, all that big wind, was not helpful earlier over the weekend out in western North Dakota. So let's not
do
that.
Good point. Thank
you.
We better not. Okay. So clouds might hamper that tonight, but it's worth a try to go outside of city lights and see it. It should be a good display. And then much cooler Friday. North winds about 15 to 30, highs still above normal, but 20 degrees cooler than today, low to mid-60s. We'll stay in the 60s Saturday, might see a sprinkle Friday night into Saturday morning, and then much cooler by Sunday with highs only in the 50s. So break out the sweater.
Flannel.
Yeah, you're going to need it this weekend, which doesn't sound right after what we've got out there today. Good golfing weather out there today.
But it's October.
It doesn't feel like it. I'm ready for some rain.
It will on Sunday.
I know. Next week, then, by the middle and end of next week, winds really ramp up across the state as we warm back up into the 70s. This is just I'm sorry. Okay. This is, yeah.
You said wind, which I'm not happy about, because let's do a little update on western North Dakota, shall we?
Oh, the fire's out. Yep.
Okay. Every time the ash moves, we get flames that are coming back up. So in talking with some firemen yesterday as well as today, you are still seeing reoccurrences of some of those areas that you thought the fire was out, but because it's still hot underneath, that's happening. The two fires that have still been going are at about 60% containment. It's getting better. I watched some footage yesterday. I think they're called a scoop plane, where it literally comes in on its belly and takes water out of Lake Sakakawea and drops about the volume of 5 hot tubs at a time in hot spots. So okay. They're doing some work. But unfortunately, you know, I've been asked by a number of listeners what's happening as far as our livestock, okay, specifically beef animals. With all that heat, if your animals survived, folks were pretty excited. What we are finding, though, and we are now 5 days after the fire, is lungs burned and scarred, and so animals are asphyxiating. You have those that it was so hot that hooves are starting to fall off, and so they have to be euthanized. So literally ranchers are now having to go buy additional ammunition because you don't want anybody to suffer. So they're having to take that in their own hands.
Right.
And out of those ashes, there's some little pokes of grass and flowers coming up because you think about that, the earth is going to try to fix itself. And all that scarred ground needs some cover on it. And farmers are trying to plant cover crop because if we have an open winter like we did with an excessive amount of wind, it's going to look like the Dirty 30s. That's a much lighter, sandier ground than what we have here. And we're going to see that blow tremendously with so much open. So keep an eye on all those things as you drive west these days.
If there is any good news in the extended forecast, not this weekend, but the following weekend,
okay.
It looks like we might get some rain out west.
That'd
Whether that
great.
Makes it east or not, we'll see. But looks like they may have a shot of rain out west. Snow in the Rockies and up and down the Rocky Mountain chain. So
I think everybody would take that at this point.
Yeah.
Moisture content would be important.
Right. So we'll keep an eye on that. But our models are all over the place. And when we see that happening, typically that means we're about to undergo some kind of pattern change when the models keep going back and forth and they're not sure what to do. So that's good news, just seeing that on our extended and long range models as well. And we need the moisture, too. I mean, with the LRC starting up 4 days ago, I mean, if we continue a dry stretch with no storms nearby, storms can miss us to the north and south on this first cycle, which means they might hit us the second, third, and fourth cycle. But if there's nothing even around us for the next 2-3 weeks, that's that will not bode well not only for summer but also or for winter, but also for next spring.
One additional update from things that happened earlier in this week. We had a guest that just at the last minute, unfortunately, Dr. Emily Fox from the Ashley Veterinary Clinic could not join us because she had an emergency come in to her office. And, well, you know, she's a doctor. That weighs out more importantly
than us.
That
comes first.
One, the dog survived.
Okay? Good.
So that was a good thing. Two, they had also posted a picture that I shared on our live stream of there were 5 dogs that came in that had an unfortunate incident with a porcupine. And how many quills came out of those 5 dogs? So the technicians counted as they removed them.
Ouch.
And I wrote the number down, but I left that piece of paper on my desk. It was somewhere in the neighborhood of 520 quills out of 5 dogs.
Oh, how many dogs?
5.
So 100 per dog, roughly.
Yeah.
Ouch.
He who was first got it worst.
Oh.
So, yeah.
What kind of dogs?
Various farm dogs.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm. Oh. So beware. After that was all done, the technicians, the vet techs did say that dogs and owners were much happier after that was removed.
I would imagine.
Yep. So these are the things we update people on. A lot that happens.
What were the dogs doing around the porcupines to begin with?
What was the porcupine doing by the dog?
Okay, that's well, okay.
See, fair question.
Right.
Well, if they've never seen one and they're curious, I mean, you've touched things you shouldn't before.
So. Yes, and I've... And it's like getting hit with a porcupine quill, too.
See? This is what happens. Got to be careful.
Good point.
Thank you. That's what I'm here for. We are going to have quite the day in studio today. If for those of you who, thankfully, you're not hearing me chewing, I'm trying to stand back from the mic. We have guests coming in. First of all, we're going to be joined by Amanda. She's here from Fargo Billiards and Gastropub because we are going to be talking about what's coming up on Saturday.
Big event.
That's right. We'll be there.
Yes, we will.
I've already told everybody to challenge you at beanbags.
Yeah, if you want to win, absolutely. Now, darts is more up my alley, so maybe...
Sure, I saw your video. No, it's not.
Well, I was doing that for the camera.
Right.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Greg told me, whatever you do, miss here. All right, I'll try.
Sure.
So I did.
And what we're talking about is going to be this Saturday at Fargo Billiards. We will all be there. You can watch the Bison game. We can go ahead and play beanbags. There's a stein lifting contest. I don't know what that entails, but I'm sure I won't be thirsty after it. Darts and a whole buffet of foods, which we are currently sampling in studio with Amanda.
Oh, so good.
We have much to cover with all of that. In fact, we're going to do a little recipe comparison because I smarted off out here in the lobby. Imagine that. I did.
Shocker.
Right. And so there's going to be Niffle soup, which is one of my favorites. And Amanda is willing to try my grandma's recipe. So let's see how that goes.
All right. We'll have more with Amanda and the upcoming
event.
Big party.
Woo.
Out at Fargo Billiards this Saturday. More on that coming up right after the break.
Welcome back to Weather and Ag in Focus, where today is essentially a giant food buffet. And I'm good with that.
I got to go to the gym after this.
Like you weren't anyway. Yeah. You know what? If it helps, I'll put your gym bag in my pickup and you just trot behind me on your way to the gym. That'll get your workout and get your cardio up.
Then I won't
up.
Have to go. There you go.
That'll get your cardio up. Okay, so we have with us in studio today, we have Amanda, and she is not only the GM, but also a co-owner for Fargo Billiards and Gastropub, and you're hosting us on Saturday. Tell us about this event and how did you get talked into it?
Well, Greg talked me into it.
He talked us all into things.
But it was a brilliant idea. So we'll have a food and beer tasting. There'll be several beers that you can sample. And then the food is all going to be German style to celebrate Oktoberfest.
Good idea.
Mm-hmm. But I have a tall order because I'm making your grandma's Neffle soup.
It'll be fine. I swear it'll be fine.
All right. I'm looking forward to it. And then we'll also have a stein holding contest, a cornhole tournament, and a dart tournament. There'll be lots of prizes and giveaways, but mainly just a lot of really good beer and a lot of really good food and fun.
So for those of us who are Bison fans, can we watch the game?
Oh, absolutely. We added TVs.
All right. Oh, they added TVs.
Wow. And you got plenty there as it is. So.
Yeah, more than pool tables, surprisingly.
Awesome. Now, Amanda, we're going to be pairing some of the food with beers as well. So you know kind of what goes with which. Can you give us a couple of examples?
Yep. So we'll have a pork rib schnitzel. We'll have a Black Forest ham mac and cheese. There'll be a variety of different brats, Neffle soup, and beer cheese soup.
Mm.
Okay. I find this awesome that it's Oktoberfest. There's going to be a braised pork rib because it's Porktober. We're celebrating all things hog. So I think this is wildly fitting.
Love it. Oh, man.
If you thought I wasn't going to get the chance to say Porktober as many times as possible, you're wrong.
So the beer stein hoisting competition, how big are these beer steins? Are they the regular, like, German big beer steins?
I believe so. And it's not – I actually don't think I could hold a beer stein out for, like, more than 30 seconds full of beer.
Are they full?
So
oh, they're full.
They're going to be full.
Man.
Yes, they'll be full.
I wondered how high I had to hold it, but you're saying straight out.
Straight out. It'll be a workout. So go to the gym today.
I might.
See, that's why I'm going to the gym.
All I got to do is outlast Dean.
Good luck. And we've got a dart tournament and a cornhole tournament as well. The dart tournament starts at 2. And what time does the cornhole tournament start?
Cornhole is going to be split. So there's two tournaments in one.
Okay.
So basically, the first one will start about noon after everybody gets registered. And that is a switch partner tournament. And it's run by North Dakota Cornhole.
Okay.
And so you will play with 8 different people, and it's a perfect opportunity for people who aren't playing a lot of cornhole. Like, if you ever wanted to go to a tournament and see what it was like, this is the perfect kind of tournament to go to.
Now, here's the thing. If you get paired up with somebody that's real good, they might be mad at, like, me because I'm not that good.
The people that go to these know what they're
expecting. Yeah, they're good.
These are people that bring their own bags.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
well, they love to play. They just love to play cornhole. Yeah. And they like to get to meet new people. And this is an opportunity to get some more people in to try cornhole in a tournament style. Everybody likes to play in the backyard or at the lake or whatever. But then all of a sudden you get into a scenario where you're playing in a tournament and you get to learn from other people how they throw, and what their style is, steps.
I used to play occasionally. And I'll be the first to admit I stunk. And I was out at Fargo Billiards and I was invited out there to play with a friend, and she's like, "You're throwing it wrong." "What do you mean I'm throwing it wrong?" She goes, "You have to loft it like this." And ever since I took her advice, mm-hmm. now I consider myself a decent, not great, but a decent bag yep. shooter compared to before when I stunk. So for somebody that's not that good, here's a perfect chance to go yep. out and maybe pick up a couple of real right. good tips.
I would like to put the ag spin on this, and I really hope that the bags are actually full of soybeans. If we could do that, it'd be awesome.
Yeah, they're not. They're not.
Why am I even going? Okay, so I'll be there.
Because of the whole concept of cornhole.
But then if it's cornhole, I want you to take ears of corn like the cob and toss those through. I'll bring the cobs. You do the tossing.
Oh, this
That's
should
a completely
be
different game.
This is after a few drinks, obviously. This should be fun.
I'm so sorry. You're going to want to vacuum a lot after I get out of there. Sorry,
nope,
Amanda.
You just got to sweep.
And then part two of the tournament is at 3 o'clock or thereabouts. Then it's a drink-in-hand tourney. So you have to throw a bag while you have a drink in the other hand.
Well, I didn't know there was any other way to throw it.
That makes it even more social.
Now, there is an entry fee, though.
Yes. And a part of that entry fee goes to Edith Sanford Cancer Center.
Because October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month.
Exactly. Nice. You were yes. right on it.
Yep. Oh, I know all the months, even in order. This high school education is totally paying off.
And Porktober.
Yep, Porktober. See, Amanda's going to have a whole new sign up for Porktober now over at Fargo Billiards.
Yep, right in front of the schnitzels.
Perfect. Hey, Greg, the dart tournament. Tell us a little bit about that.
Now, Amanda knows a little bit more about the dart tournament.
Okay, Amanda.
So the dart tournament is also good for new players. It's a blind draw, so everybody's randomly drawn and put with other people. That starts at 2 o'clock, and United Amusements is actually going to put that on for us. And yeah, it's good for new players. 2 o'clock.
It's going to work out great.
Right.
I mean, people are going to be happy to be there and enjoying the afternoon. The Bison game comes on. I think our game starts at 2 o'clock.
Yep. It starts at 2 o'clock as well. Yep.
Yep. So,
and all these people can participate in Beer Fest while they're in between throwing.
Do you get something extra for wearing Bison gear?
Not that I'm aware of.
I would like something extra for wearing
okay,
all my
for
Bison
you,
gear.
I'll give you something extra, okay?
You have no idea.
I'll dig
what
deep
you're
into the prize
for.
Closet and find you something really good.
I got some stuff.
The other thing I think everybody should know about is we will be doing hourly drawings for prizes.
Okay.
So when people come in, they register, drop their name in the hat. So we have gift cards from Fargo Billiards, PetroServe USA, Great Harvest Bread Company, Don's Car Wash, Meats by John and Wayne. All those things we're going to be giving away. Cass County Electric provided an Arctic cooler. So it's a cool zip close cooler, pretty good size. Consolidated Communications gave us a Bluetooth speakerphone power pack. So you can charge your phone and talk out of the speaker at the same time.
Nice.
There's a portable cutting board / charcuterie board that is kind of cool looking. No, I can't spell it. I'm lucky to say it. Gatorade provided 2 large Coleman coolers. We've got another Bluetooth speaker
actually,
from Gatorade.
I think there's only one cooler.
Yeah,
I was in your office earlier.
We've got MyPillow pillows and some plush towels from them. One of the big things is a deer target from the Outdoorsman.
Oh, very nice.
That people can use for
archery.
Archery, oh, yep. Wow. And Fargo Force tickets we have to give away.
Okay.
And Dr. Pepper donated 2 autographed Bison footballs. One by the quarterback, Cam Miller, and the other by the safety, All-American safety, Cole Wisniewski. So we got 2 footballs.
Nice.
Very cool. Okay. So there'll be prizes that really light up anybody.
Oh, yeah.
I do want to point out that we have a listener sent me a message. Speaking of cornhole, et cetera, yeah. Our Here We Grow plot, where we're custom farming 20 acres of corn north of Glendon, Minnesota. I did a video, and last week that came out where Justin and I had a little contest at who could shell their corn cob fastest, and Justin beat me. So apparently I can't let that happen again at Fargo Billiards. So I just said it was rigged.
Probably.
Probably. So, yes.
And some of the beers out there that were going to be kind of highlighting Shiner Oktoberfest, Leinenkugel Oktoberfest, Castle Danger,
Hefeweizen,
and New Belgium Voodoo Ranger Juicy Haze IPA, and more. So
yeah, and each of those brands will have a table set up so you can sample more than just that one beer. Those are the 4 featured ones that'll be on tap, but then they're going to have another 3 or 4 beers that people will sample besides those.
Oh, right. Now I've had the Shiner and I've had the Leinenkugel. Both of those are very good.
Yep, excellent.
Very good. So looking forward to trying the other ones as well. Yep.
I was told once by coworkers from out of state that North Dakota will do very many things for organized drinking, and today we are about to, or Saturday we are about to prove that.
But we're giving too.
And we're giving, and we're giving to Edith Sanford Breast Cancer Center, and also just prizes for those who attend and great food.
Absolutely. The beer will be plentiful and cold, and the food will be delicious.
Of course it will. That's the best part.
Amanda, you guys have plenty of pool tables in there, too. So if anybody wants to come out, I grew up since I was 7 years old shooting pool. So if you'd like to challenge me to a game, we play for a shot a game. That's the rules. So I might be taking an Uber home. We'll see.
Might be.
Or I might be broke by the end of the day. One or the other.
That's right.
But it should be. It'll be a lot of fun. It'll be a lot of fun. If you've never been out to Fargo Billiards, it's a huge, huge. I'll call it an arena. It is. And the food. A lot of people will go there. You know, hey, let's play pool, darts. But the kitchen. It's a full kitchen, and the food at your place, Amanda, is. It's not bar food. I'm sorry. It's not. It's a way, way above bar food. It is absolutely fantastic.
You missed a very important part, and you said you hadn't been there before. What about those who haven't been there, Amanda? Where do we find you?
We're at 3234 43rd Street South, and the road construction is done.
Yes!
Right next to the Big Water Tower, I tell people.
Absolutely, yep. Fargo and Fargo Billiards.
You can't miss it.
Thank you, Amanda, so much for coming in. Thank you for bringing us samples. They are delightful.
Thank you.
So stop in for lunch, see her whenever, but better yet, come join us on Saturday.
Come say hi to us.
That'll get your addiction started for wanting to go more often.
There you go.
All right. We'll be right back. We have yet another guest. We're going to be joined by Josh Alsager. We're going to talk about Alsager meats, especially where that beef might be coming from. Be right back. Welcome back to Weather and Ag in Focus. Oh, the screaming goat is back. Rawr. Yikes. Oh, but the rest of us are back as well. And we swapped guests during the break. We brought in Josh Alsager. He's with Alsager Meats. And before we get to Josh, do want to say that thank you to our Here We Grow sponsors. Two of them today would be Red River Retention Authority. Brian Feuder has done a fantastic job of keeping us up to date on all the dam projects and making sure that they plan ahead for all the dam rehabilitation that'll be done next year. All the dam rehabilitation. Right. then additionally, we had Gowan Company. They brought a Fiance fungicide to us for our corn, kept our corn nice and clean, disease-free throughout the season. And we've combined. Corn's off the field. I know how many bushels we had.
You wouldn't even tell me.
Nope, I'm not telling you yet. But that allows time for everybody to put their guesses in on how many bushels they think our corn crop averaged. So again, we were 20 miles north of Glendon, 20 acres. We did okay. We were wet early. It wasn't bad through most of the summer. And we really dried out here towards the fall. Farm average is about 195 bushel per acre. So if you want to make a guess, you can email us. weather or ag@flagfamily.com. You can also go to our Facebook page, Weather and Ag in Focus, and you can drop your guesses there. I'm keeping track of them. We will have a gift for the winner, either a rain gauge from Productive Alternatives in Fergus Falls, Minnesota, or we will have a grain gauge from IntelliFarms, which is in Castleton. So meanwhile, while you're thinking about your corn yield that you want to send to us, we're going to visit with Josh. How are you today?
Good. Thanks for having me.
You brought a guest in too.
Yeah, my little daughter Lucy had to ride with me today.
So. Lucy, we're glad you're here. Thanks for joining us. She's like,
you're welcome.
She's three and she's making her radio debut.
Right.
That's perfect. All right. So, Josh, you not only have Alsager Meats over on Veterans Boulevard in West Fargo, but you raise cattle.
We do.
So is that just I've decided I want to send my cows to my own butcher shop, or how does that decision start?
It was. We'd always sell quarters and halves different places, and with COVID, when they hit, everything filled up, and we had to do something. So this place in Audubon came up for sale, and we bought it. So, and we turned it from a ma-and-pa kind of a custom deal to federal. So we can sell. If you had a cow you wanted to bring to us, you could sell it by the steak or by the pound anywhere in the nation.
So, okay, so that process works. When you said Audubon, that's not your storefront in West Fargo. So you got two different things?
We have two. Our butcher plant is in Audubon. That's where we process the cattle.
Okay, so. And was it a big process to go up to federally inspected versus?
Yeah, huge. I didn't think it would be that big, but it was total remake inside, and the paperwork was big too. But the feds are pretty good to work with.
What'd you have to do to change?
New floors, new walls, everything has to be glass board and clean and white.
Wow.
Yeah. And the paperwork is a lot too. You got to follow every every calf from when it arrives all the way out the door and to where it goes. Yeah, everything's got a paper trail.
Okay. This is going to sound messy, but I'm very curious. when you butcher, not, and I know you're not the butcher, but yep. you probably know this through your process. When you butcher, there's things that don't get used. You know, we're not an area where a lot of beef tongue is consumed.
Right.
Or, you know, folks like calf brains, et cetera. Where does that go?
Well, anything we don't use, like the hides we have, we don't have enough of them to be able to sell them. So it all kind of gets rendered. So it goes to Long Prairie is where ours goes. Yeah.
Oh,
so they pick it up the day after we process. They come twice a week and pick it up.
Can they take beef and pork?
Yes, beef and pork. Oh. They won't take sheep or anything like any of the others. So,
can you butcher sheep?
We can, but we have to get rid of that elsewhere.
Oh, so, okay, yep. Gotcha. All right.
Yep. And Josh, what makes your shop different than other meat shops in the area?
Well, we're the only one. There's others in the area that are federal as well, but in Fargo, we're the only federal retail store. So we are federal here and in Audubon, so we can go back and forth across state lines. So. If you bought any, you know, I could sell anywhere out of either store. So it's kind of nice. Where if we were just the state inspected, we couldn't sell across state lines. So.
Now, we got an email here. They asked, what is the difference between me buying my meat from Alsager opposed to fresh meat in the grocery store?
Sure.
What's the difference? Will people be able to tell the taste?
Well, I think they will. It depends. I mean, like the other butcher shops in town have great quality, but you know, some of the grocery stores is a little less quality because the price is cheaper.
Right.
And but I think our hamburger is second to none. It's got that good flavor to it, like you know, just like any meat you'd have gotten butchered over the years. It's got that nice that good taste where a lot of the stuff is watered down. It seems like, mm-hmm. and you know, you cook a pound of our hamburger, you're not going to really have to drain it. It's lean. Yeah. I mean, it's good where you cook a pound of hamburger, you're going to end up with 3/4 of a pound of hamburger from a lot of the big stores. So,
you know, as a cattleman, your hands on like, so my first question is the beef that's coming in through your store, that's all your beef, correct?
Most of it. Yeah. With the Fargo store, we can't keep up with our processing. So we were selling everything in Audubon was ours, but now we got here and it's hard to get enough ribeyes off of one calf to supply so many a day. You
that
know,
calf
so.
Is not all ribeye.
No, exactly. so we do a lot of the trim ourselves. We bring up trim and, you know, mm-hmm. for burger and stuff. But the ribeyes and the select steak, you know, the different steaks, we do supplement. We try to supplement locally out of Aberdeen, out of Demcota.
Oh, yeah.
That's where we try to buy our stuff from if we have to.
So we get this question, and I do as ag director a number of times. People get very concerned when they read Facebook, and there's moments where, God, I hate Facebook.
Yeah.
but, you know, we're just pumping our livestock, our beef animals full of antibiotics. We're not.
No,
that's
not at all.
That's not your operation, right?
No. We're giving antibiotics to keep them healthy and safe.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's the whole thing.
If Lucy's sick, you help Lucy with
obviously.
The medicine, right?
Yeah.
But
yep.
you're not doing this on purpose. Cattle have a period of time where after you treat, they can't be slaughtered.
Yep, there's a withdrawal period.
And
yep.
and you know that. You're keeping track of
absolutely.
Them. Absolutely. Yeah.
Yep.
That's the most important thing to keep in mind. These are your animals. You know what's going on.
Right. Yeah. And then if there's a withdrawal, or we also have natural cattle as well.
Where
there's no antibiotics,
nothing,
no implants, no anything, you know. But when those cattle get sick, we treat them.
Yeah.
So we don't, you know, they don't die or whatever. So we treat them and then we pull them and put them in a different pen.
Absolutely.
So they go into the conventional cattle. So,
sure.
And Josh, is it all grass-fed?
Grass-fed in the summer and grain finished. Yeah, we finish on corn. So,
okay.
Yep.
And I know there's folks that are like, oh, I absolutely have to have grass-fed.
Right.
I don't care. I want good beef.
Yeah.
that's really what I want.
Right.
And I come from a farm where we corn finish too. And yeah, I'm good
Well, in
that.
This country, you can't. There's no way to grass finish here. I mean, with the weather like it is, you can't get enough energy out of the grass. And
what other products do you sell at your store, Josh?
We've got chicken and pork and we make our own sausage. We grind our own ground beef every day, and we've got Bongard's cheese out of Perm. So yep, we've got Spankies. We've got
gratin
potatoes and stuff.
Right.
Yeah, so we've got all kinds of seasonings and barbecue sauces, whatever goes with beef. We've got Breadsmith has bread there.
Oh,
so, yeah. Oh, nice. And you run weekly specials? Sorry, Bridget.
No, I was just like, Baumgart's, Breadsmith. Right? Oh, breakfast is
we
already
do.
Coming.
We have
weekly specials?
We have weekly specials, yeah. Okay. New York strips are on sale, I believe, this week. And usually we run 3 items on sale every week.
What's your biggest selling item?
Oh, our ribeyes are top. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, I mean, dollar-wise, it's ribeyes for sure. Quantity, I think ground beef. And we marinate our own chicken breasts. So we,
oh, nice.
Yeah, so we sell a lot of chicken breasts, too. So,
as a farm question that I think of, how do your pastures look like right now? Because it's been kind of dry.
They really went backwards last month. Before, they were in really good shape. Yeah. Yeah. And we pulled yearlings in early this year. We run yearlings on grass. And, mm-hmm. And when they came in, there was a lot of grass, but it everything is turning brown. So
it is.
Yeah. So, my brother-in-law was home from out west, and there's not one piece of green grass in the pasture anymore out there. So
how far out west?
Lemon, South Dakota.
Oh, yeah. They're dry.
Yeah.
Yep, absolutely.
Bomb cyclone. Yep. We need some kind of rain around here. It's been super, super dry. Does that affect – so then you're going to have to – you have to change to a different – the corn fed then a little earlier? Or?
Yeah, we feed everything. So we pull them off grass, you know, usually in October anyway. So then they come in and they're either grazing on the cornfields or when the corn's off or you're feeding them. So okay. Everything goes either bales of hay or feeding them a mixed ration through the mixer wagons. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, because you have you got 2 storefronts to supply.
We do.
You got to keep this up.
Yeah. The hardest part is keeping ahead of them with the guys, the butchers, you know. They're working their tails off.
And are you ever out there feeding, like dropping bales, and you think, I can hear them sharpening knives already. I probably better speed things up here a smidge.
No, they're the bottleneck now. We've got plenty of cattle to send to them. It's just the other way around. So
if folks want to find you, again, the store in Audubon.
Yep.
And are the same items in Audubon that are here?
Everything's the same here as there. Okay. So, yeah, we try to keep it that way. If you're going to the lake, you can find usually the same thing as we have here.
And go ahead, Dean.
I was going to say, anything online, or is it store only?
Store only for now. We're getting to that point, but we're just not quite there yet.
Because the In Fargo store is over on Veterans right by Firehouse Subs. When you drive by Costco and the parking lot is, you know, there are less people in China than in Costco most days. So they could just go over to All Soccer's Meat, which is right down the street, and pick up that fresh beef.
Right. We're open till 7 every night, but Sunday we're open till 5.
That's fine.
10 to 5 on Sunday.
Just in time to pick up for supper.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Lucy, what's your favorite thing to eat? Do you like hamburgers? Yeah. Yeah. She's all over it. All right. Smart kid.
Sloppy Joe's, come on.
You
right?
can do anything with burger. So, Josh and Lucy, thank you guys for coming in today.
Thanks for having us.
Any last comments to customers who are listening?
It's getting cooler, so the roast will be on sale. So it's a nice thing to throw in the crock pot. So.
Good idea.
Yeah.
Yeah, happy pot roast season.
I'm going to head over there. It's right next to the gym, right by my gym. So I could hit the gym and then go pick up some fresh... ribeyes?
Something called the bar is not the gym, Dean. You can call that weightlifting if you want. But
well, it's 12 ounces.
Anywho, okay. Don't go anywhere. We still have headlines to cover. We want to make sure that we wrap up the weather before we get to the cold streak. So we'll be back.
And welcome back to Weather and Ag in Focus, 1:50 in the afternoon. A couple of great guests we had on today. I'll tell you, I've never had El Sagro Meats, and I really have to stop in there now.
Oh, been in the store. It's worth your time.
Good.
And especially when he said, you know, like Baumgart's cheese, you know, that's right over in Pahrump. Yeah. I buy their butter. They do a great job.
Okay.
Yeah. It's nice. You know, we always hear buy local, so make sure you do it.
Absolutely. No doubt about it. So, well, let's hit some ag topics here that we haven't really been able to touch all week. What's this beef on dairy mean?
Before you get to that, I just realized I have a question from a listener.
Oh.
From the time that they do the kill to when they cut the steaks, what kind of time is that in their hang time? I will find that out. I will get a hold of Josh and see if we can't get the answer so I can give that back to our listener.
Right.
Because I hate to leave someone hanging. Oh, that was a terrible way to say that because he just asked about hang time on a beef. but I do want to make sure we get those answers. And then... you talked about beef on dairy.
Yeah.
Okay. So we have more and more dairy farmers who are using beef bull genetics. So they're doing AI where they're using the artificial insemination from the bull on, say, a Holstein cow. And they're doing that because you get a little bit more beefy or meatier cow. But then also the calving genetics are really good. They are docile. There's a tendency for Holstein bulls to be mean. This comes from firsthand experience as a kid. I mean, I literally got chased out a barn window by a Holstein bull. So, you know, those are some of the reasons that they do that. And the rate of gain is a little bit better as well. In the last 12 years, we've really seen a lot more of that transition from genetics with the beef to the dairy. It's not all the time, but we are seeing some more of that happening.
Okay.
Yeah. Also, 701X is a business right here in Fargo. 701X just recently did the acquisition of Digital Beef. They were the registry platform based out of San Antonio, Texas, for a number of beef breeds. And when I say registry, when you have registered herds, it's kind of like having an AKC dog. Okay, they're right. Registered with the American Kennel Club. They have papers that go with them. You could do that with cattle too. And those registries have to be taken care of somewhere. Well, 701X, because of their great work in the beef industry, the fact that they are well-versed in what needs to be done, they've got hands-on experience, they took over these beef registries, and they've done it for, well, there's a number of them here, American Gelvie, North American Limousine, Shorthorn, the Maine Anjou, Chianias, Black Herefords, Wagyu, Longhorns, the Brabane, the Brahmen, the Beefmasters, the Belted Galloways, and the Santa Gertrudis. So they are going to be doing all the registries for those animals now, right here out of Fargo.
Have you ever had Wagyu beef? Is that the correct pronunciation, Wagyu or Wagyu?
I hear Wagyu. I hear a bunch of other ones. I have had that beef, and it is really great.
See, I didn't think it was as good as other beef. I don't know why.
Maybe the preparation.
What makes the difference?
Because of the way that animal is treated, they just are known to have super tender and flavorful beef.
Okay.
Yeah, and they are primarily that breed came out of Japan. If I'm not mistaken. I mean, when you hear the jokes, well, that cow got beer. That's part of their feed ration. Mm-hmm. Was feeding them beer. Cows over here, people worry a lot about what their rations are, and you should. You should have a nutritionalist. You should make sure they get the right blends in there, you know, for protein, for forage, for fill, all of that. But I've seen cows on feedlot that are like, well, we need some filler. You know, we got these expired cookies from a local grocery warehouse. So your cow's having the Oreo.
They have to have a treat now and again, too, right?
You know, we're in an area where they've gotten potatoes from the potato plants, you know, like potato peelings. Okay. Those can be fed to beef animals.
Most tender cut of beef?
The one, if you've ever had someone smoke a tri-tip, our tailgating group does that. And
really?
It's really, really good.
Is it?
Yeah. I do like those.
Ah, man, now you're making me super hungry.
Well, some of those cuts are really underrated. I mean, yes, we all know what a good ribeye is, but there's others too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
If you do a flank steak right, you could be pretty happy.
Oh, come on.
You could.
Well, maybe.
You just got to be a good cook.
Yeah. I'll take the ribeye.
Fine.
Sorry. I'll pay a little more. And I'll take the ribeye. That's not a problem at all. Let's do a quick recap of the weather here because we are looking at very dry conditions out there right now. And temperatures right around the 80-degree mark across much of the area. We're looking at highs today right around the mid-80s. Some spots will be a little bit warmer than that. In fact, right now, let's see, Forest River already at 85. Just out to the west, Castleton's already at 85, 84 in Leonard, 84 down in Wahpeton. So some areas, yeah, they could touch the 90-degree mark. That's incredible.
It's October.
It's nuts. This is crazy. We're at 83 right now here at the studio. And again, the warmest spot close by, again, 85 out in Castleton. Castleton, assuming there's enough breaks in the high clouds, it could touch 90, but our record is 86. I think we're going to come real close to that today. 85, 86 here in the FM area. Breezy conditions out of the south, southwest, about 10 to 25. Now, tonight, huge CME erupted from the sun yesterday, and that's being hurled at our planet as we speak.
No clouds, no clouds, no clouds.
I know. That's the only problem. We are likely going to see clouds with that. Now, if they're of the high variety like they are right now, you should be able to see the northern lights through that. But if they thicken and lower, which there's going to be some scattered thicker clouds as we head into tonight, that would prohibit you from seeing the northern lights. But a very good chance of seeing a great display tonight. Not a guarantee, but and again, time frame on that is after 9 o'clock tonight. We'll have our winds switching to the northwest behind a cold front, 10 to 20 and lows into the 40s. And tomorrow, blustery and cooler, but still above normal, but a good 20 degrees cooler than today with highs around the mid 60s and a north northwest wind, 15 to 30. Clouds sticking up tomorrow night. Could see a sprinkle or two Friday night, Saturday morning. We'll stick with the low to mid 60s on Saturday and then drop into the 50s on Sunday. The 50s remain on Monday. Now, Sunday night and Monday night, a good chance for a widespread frost or a widespread freeze around here. Great news for allergy sufferers. That'll take care of that, finally. And then by the middle of next week, windy, and we're back up into the 60s and 70s.
Wow. First of all, yay, we're back up into those temperatures. B, let's have some rain. And I had listeners that were already coming back and saying, that hang time should be about 2 weeks. On the beef.
Oh, is it? Okay.
And then secondly, when we were talking about Wagyu and I said it's incredibly tender, that's due to the marbling, you know, the okay. veins of fat that run through
right,
it.
Right, right, right.
So that was a correction we wanted to make sure we made. And again, it is Porktober and the Iowa State football team, they have got players on their team called Tommy Hammond and Caleb Bacon.
So come
Hammond
on,
and Bacon really? Stand next to each other. Well, it gets better because then Miles Purchase and Tyler Moore join the team. So now they have pictures and they are doing NIL for the Iowa pork producers because they raise four times as much pork as any other state. And so you now have Purchase, Moore, Hammond, Bacon, the football players in their jerseys doing ads. And they also have found that there's a couple more guys on the roster. Their last names are Cook and Lovett. So there's a whole marketing campaign. Oh, welcome to Porktober.
Wow. That's hilarious. Well, I want to thank everybody for joining us on this Friday Eve. Get out and enjoy this. Might be the last 80 degree temperatures of the year.
But 70s. Could be
70s
coming.
Next week. That's not bad. But this could be the last shot of 80 degree weather we have this year. So get out and enjoy it. For Bridget, myself, want to thank everybody. Don't go anywhere. The Jay Thomas Show. That's coming up next.